prepping for labor and postpartum has been emotionally hard because I know that potentially it could look so wildly different than what I want. So that has been the hardest part, and it's just been an emotional whiplash. But I want to share with you now how I have been managing my stress, because it's been a lot. It's been a lot of stress.
Welcome to the Balancing Hormones Naturally podcast. This is your podcast host, Leah Brueggemann. I am a functional diagnostic nutritional practitioner. Here you are going to get actionable steps you can take today to start balancing your hormones naturally so that you can maximize your menstrual cycle for painless periods, more energy, and weight loss. Let's dive on in.
Okay, so managing stress in a lifetime where basically you feel like the stress is never stopping. And the reason why I want to talk about this is I often get asked, like, I can't manage, or I guess not asked, I get told I can't manage stress because of XYZ in my life, and my work is just stressful, and I'm stressed, and this is stressful, and all of these things keep happening. And I want to share with you what I've been doing, and this is going to be probably hands down one of the most vulnerable podcast episodes I've ever done, but I hope that it is helpful for you and you realize that you aren't alone and managing stress isn't always easy. Okay. So I will not cry. I will not cry. I was like, I don't know if I want to do this episode. I feel like I'm just going to cry. But I was talking to one of my past clients, or not, she's not a past client, she's a current client, about this a little bit. And I think sometimes it's just really useful for you to see, like, I am not perfect. Because she was telling me, she's like, sometimes I just feel like you have everything together and you do all of these things because you know all of this stuff and you never have an issue. And I just feel like I'm a failure because I struggle with all of these things. And so I guess 2025 is the year I'm going to share a little bit more about the tough parts. So let's talk about why this is really important. So managing stress does not mean that you have a stress-free lifestyle. There's never going to be stress. There's never going to be changes. It's going to happen, right? Managing stress is about supporting your nervous system to shift so that you can keep coming back to what I call ventral, which is like happy and neutral. So there's two opposite sides of your nervous system. Okay, so you have happy ventral, which is where we all want to be, right? And then you have fight or flight. And then you have what I would call dorsal or shutdown. Now, it's up to you to kind of realize which part of your nervous system you will sit in. So if you're somebody that is like, when I am not in ventral and happy, I tend to be fight or flight. Or if I'm not in ventral, like my first instinct to stress and conflict is dorsal. I go shut down. I want to just go cry. I feel like I have no energy. I don't want to move. It kind of will just depend which one of those you are. Okay. So I will tell you that typically with a first sign of conflict, I tended to be fight or flight. I would definitely go into the fight or flight, typically the fight. But this past year, it's definitely been dorsal. I just go into shutdown. And it's been different to have to shift my nervous system from a different aspect. So I just kind of want to share what that looks like in real life and how I've been doing that and how it really does make a big difference. But I think the biggest thing is that you can't wait for the stress to go away, because that's never going to happen. We're never going to live in a stress-free society. And so if you say, I just can't have balanced hormones because I have so much stress. No, that is not true. You can learn to manage it. It doesn't mean it goes away. It just means that we handle it better. We get more adaptive instead of letting it crush us. Okay? This is hands down one of the biggest tools that we utilize with clients in the Hormone Reset Program, because your nervous system is going to control a lot of what you do. Because you guys know, if you feel motivated and excited and you want to do things, you're going to do them. You're going to be consistent. But if you feel like it's not working, you feel like you're in shutdown, or you feel like you're in fight or flight, we're not going to do the things that are consistent. On top of that, it really impacts the actual levels of your hormones, because your body will always prioritize cortisol, the fight or flight hormone, over progesterone, over your sex hormones, okay? So this is why we utilize this tool so much. And so if you've listened to any of my past pregnancies episodes, I am going to put your trigger warning right here. If you want to stay in a happy pregnancy bubble, don't listen to this episode, because we are going to be talking about more high-risk things. We're going to be talking about bleeding in pregnancy and all those sorts of stuff. So if you want to stay in a happy pregnancy bubble, don't listen to this. So, little recap. This pregnancy has been wildly different than my other two pregnancies, with absolutely no explanation. So when I was 11 weeks, 11 weeks, I had gone to the ER because I was bleeding a ton. And they had told me there that I had placenta abruption. There's a lot of bleeding. They were like, basically, there's nothing you can do. We're going to send you home. But baby was okay. Like, they found baby heart rate. He was moving, all of the things. And then the next day, I had to go to my doctor. And she was like, nope, placenta is fully attached. So this is already like a roller coaster of emotions. Every single time I have been to the doctor, every single ultrasound, it has just been like a whiplash of emotion, because it's like one thing and then the next thing. Oh no, it's fine. Oh no, this is an issue. It's just back and forth and back and forth. Anyway, she said the placenta was fully attached. And the placenta was attached on the opposite side of the uterus. That was what my subchorionic hemorrhage. So we're calling it hemorrhage because it was so currently bleeding versus like a hematoma. And at this time, it was measuring at 7 centimeters. So a hematoma is very common in pregnancy, typically a half a centimeter. Half a centimeter, you guys, not 7. And if you have it, it's typically caused by like a physical trauma. Like, did you fall down the steps? Were you in a car accident? Something like that. And none of this had happened. And they were literally just like, we don't know what to tell you. We have no idea why this happened. They're like, it just kind of did. So we had to monitor it because it was so big. And I had to obviously go on some support supplement wise for iron. So anyways, we came back a couple weeks after that. So I felt like that was really good news. We were like, okay, it's not placenta abruption. Placenta is fully attached, all of these things. And then we come back and they go, oh, it got bigger. It is now 9 centimeters. And they put me on bed rest and sent me to maternal fetal medicine. And again, we had to wait a couple weeks to get in there because everything's just so back and forth of like, they need to monitor it. They need to see all these things. Went in, ultrasound, baby looked great. Baby's moving, baby's kicking. And it hadn't grown past the 9 centimeters, but it was 9 centimeters by 6 centimeters by 6 centimeters. It's so big. So big. And at this point, I had stopped like physically bleeding. I would bleed on and off a few times after that, but it wasn't as excessive as the first time. And they were like, okay, I had to stay on modified bed rest basically for 6-ish weeks until they established like hematoma was staying pretty stable. It wasn't growing. Baby was growing a lot it was going great. He was actually ahead of the curve. Amniotic fluid looked really good, so they weren't worried. So I was like, yay, we passed the hump. We just have this annoying hematoma. No big deal. It's fine. But I will tell you, like, that whole time was just a roller coaster because, you know, every time I would start bleeding, you just get scared, you know, and you get worried. And so that was a roller coaster of emotion in itself. And I was on bed rest, so I couldn't do anything. I had to have people literally there helping every day just to, like, literally help take care of my kids, which I'm so glad that they were there, but it is hard to have to do that. And so that was that part. And then, and during this time, I still have a business. I still had to record podcast episodes. I still had to be working with clients. I still had to hold space for all these people. And so all of this is going on. I'm just, like, setting the stage, and then I'm going to tell you how I managed it. Or did not, but we did manage stress. We did do it. When I look back, we did okay, Leah. But, so then the next thing that happened was I went in for, my doctor's appointment, which I thought was just a regular, great old appointment. And I'd had an ultrasound the week before with MFM, and they had never called or said anything. My doctor was like, "So about this dilated bowel?" I'm like, "What dilated bowel?" So it turns out Roman had a dilated bowel, and they were going to do a repeat ultrasound in a couple weeks to scan and see what was going on, because they were like, "Okay, it could just be a growth thing. We're not really sure." I had done genetic testing because of the hematoma continuing to grow. They wanted all of the testing done. So I had done that. They had done the genetic testing on him. Everything came back low risk. I wasn't a carrier for anything. So they were just kind of like, okay, let's just continue on monitoring. Thought it was just like a growth hiccup, basically. And we went in for a repeat ultrasound, and the dilated bowel was still there. And this is when I feel like it got really hard, because I'm glad that we were able to switch to a different MFM provider. They just were not communicative, and it's very, very frustrating when you cannot get answers. And I was talking to my doctor, who was very helpful, but, like, all he was sent was the notes on the ultrasound. They didn't even send him the ultrasound. So we had to go back and be like, "We need the ultrasound, blah, 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 blah." But that was terrifying for me because they referred us out to U of M, University of Michigan, and they were worried about literally so many things. You know, they're throwing out words like, okay, you know, is he going to be okay? Are you going to be able to make it to term? Is he going to need surgery? Like, just a whirlwind. And I didn't know. That was the thing. Like, they just wouldn't say anything. And so that was probably the most stressful thing. So then we get to U of M. remember how I said this is like a whiplash of emotion? So we get to U of M. They do a very long ultrasound. And they were telling us, you know, as of right now, what it looks like is basically the bleeding from the hemorrhage, like, is obviously, some of it's in the amniotic fluid, and the intestines, like, baby's intestines aren't really meant to handle that stuff, and they are really irritated. But she said, you know, that we think is probably the cause. Everything seems to be good, and hopefully as he keeps growing, he'll basically just grow through this, and it will be fine. So we're like, yay, okay, best news. Have a follow-up ultrasound 4 weeks after that, and we come back, and they're like, nope. It did not resolve, and so now we're transferring all your care to U of M. You're going to deliver here, and you have to meet with a pediatric surgeon, all of these things. Like, we think he'll need surgery when he's born. And I'm just like, oh, my Lando. It's just this roller coaster. And then,
So there's that. And then we come back again for a repeat ultrasound. We're like, oh, it's stabilized. So that's good. I mean, and that's kind of where we're sitting. The surgeon's like, it has stabilized. Potentially, he will need surgery. Potentially, he won't. Oh, we don't know. So definitely, please keep him in your prayers, because I will take all the prayers. Please pray for us. But we just don't know. We don't know that, you know, after we have him, they'll be able to do an x-ray and kind of see what's going on. The thing is that nobody knows what has gone on. You know, nobody knows what caused the hematoma. They don't know why it happened. There's anything that possibly could have happened to have caused it didn't happen. So it's kind of like this weird anomaly. And same thing with his dilated bowel. So the only thing they're really kind of saying is, we assume, like, when you had the hematoma and the hemorrhage, it definitely causes inflammation and irritated the intestines when they were in a growth spurt. And we're kind of assuming that is the cause of what has happened, but we don't really know. And so whether he'll need surgery or it will resolve on its own, we still don't know, which is frustrating. Not frustrating. It's just you live in the unknown is not a great place to be while you're pregnant. And so I think that has been one of the hardest things for me. And, you know, prepping for labor and postpartum has been emotionally hard, because I know that potentially it could look so wildly different than what I want. And so that has been, I think, the hardest part. And it's just been an emotional whiplash. But I am sharing this with you basically to say that I want to share with you now how I have been managing my stress, because it's been a lot. It's been a lot of stress. And it never is anything that's been in my control. It's not something I could just be like, I am saying no to this. I am stepping away. I couldn't say no to that. And I couldn't step away. So it's just been one thing after the other. And you know what I'm so grateful for is that even if he does need surgery, he'll be okay. You know, he'll be okay. If you are stepping into taking fluoride out of your toothpaste, which I feel like is starting to become a bigger topic, thank heavens, because we can go into all of the side effects of fluoride, especially on the thyroid. But if you are trying to get rid of it, you're probably looking for an alternative, and you might have come across hydroxyapatite. Now, it's very important that when you're looking at this ingredient in your toothpaste to look at what type of hydroxyapatite you're getting. Is it nano or non-nano in small particle? Now, I choose small particle. I don't want nano. Again, I repeat, no nano, because I don't want that crossing the blood-brain barrier. No, thank you. I just want it on my teeth. I just want it to remineralize and do all of those things for my teeth. Don't want it doing anything not in there. It actually was very hard for me to find a toothpaste that had that and actually worked. That is why we have used Wellness for over 2 years now, and we'll continue to do that. So Wellness has the whitening toothpaste, the Fresh Mint, which is the one that I use, and my kids use the strawberry one. And they use green tea to help prevent any bad breath, basically, which we don't want. They have neem oil, which helps prevent tooth decay and gum disease. Yes. They have the hydroxyapatite, which is what remineralizes your teeth. This is the same material your teeth are made out of. So no fluoride. It is not nano. It is small particle. Again, I cannot impress upon you enough how important this is to have small particle. And it works incredible. I do notice a difference. Well, I can't say I notice a stark difference now, because I've been using it for years. But when I first started, I did notice a massive difference in how it whitened my teeth. Because up until this point, I've been trying a bunch of non-toxic toothpaste that didn't have fluoride in it. But I'm like, oh, my teeth are just looking disgusting, which let's be real, we don't want. So I love theirs, and it does whiten your teeth. You do notice a difference. You'll notice a difference, I would say, probably within a week. So that's pretty fast. You can get an amazing deal from Wellness right now, which I love that they are partnering with us to give this to you. And you can get up to 20% off your whitening toothpaste. So go to wellness.com/Leah. You have to go through the link that will direct you straight to the discount. There's no code. It will just automatically be discounted for you. It's wellness.com/Leah, L-E-A-H, to save up to 20% on your toothpaste. So there's been a lot of an emotional roller coaster that I've been on, and I want to share the things that have been the most useful for me. And number one has been allowing myself to be human. And by that, I mean not trying to positive mindset every time I feel upset about it, every time I feel down about it, trying to be like, oh my goodness, everything is butterfly and roses and rainbows, because your body knows when you're lying to it, right? So I gave myself permission to literally, there was a couple days where I was basically like, you're allowed to be a gremlin today. And you can just sit and do nothing productive. And you can cry as much as you want. And we can be frustrated. And we can eat all the comfort food and acknowledge that it's hard. And then I was like, okay, now we need to snap out of it. So there was definitely the days when that you have to acknowledge that it's hard, and you have to allow yourself to be human. And I tell this to my clients all the time, is that sometimes you're doing all of the right things and it just takes longer. And that's okay. And it's okay to acknowledge that that's annoying. And it's okay to acknowledge that you're frustrated. And it's okay to acknowledge that it's hard. You know, you don't have to be like, oh, it's amazing all the time. Okay, so that was step number one, was acknowledging it was hard. It was hard. Step two was I asked for help. So my wonderful husband bore the brunt of a lot of my tears. But giving a voice to my fears was very important. So not trying to like keep everything inside and be like, I've got this and I am super tough and I can do this by myself. That was really, really big. And he had to be my support for basically the outside world. So I actually didn't really want to talk about it a lot with a lot of people, because they all would have not great stories to tell me. It was like all these horror stories. And I'm like, no, I would like to stay in my happy little bubble over here. I know this is tough. I know this is hard, but we are getting there. We're working through this. And I don't want to hear about all the horrible stories that have happened that you've heard of in pregnancy with similar things. Like, I don't want to hear about it. So he was really good about helping me protect that space. And I did have to tell people, no, I'm like, I don't want to hear that story. Sorry. I don't want to talk about that. Sorry. And that was really important for me to protect my mental space. So my second tip would be, you don't need to keep the negative naysayers around. You don't. If they want to tell you how whatever you're doing is not going to work, or they think what you're doing is dumb, or they want to tell you all of the horror stories of something, you can just say, no, I don't want to hear that. Thank you. You have permission to say no. But then have your trusted circle of people where you can talk about it. You can dump everything out. You can say all those things, right? And so the next person I was asking for help from was my coach. And she does a lot of nervous system, and you've heard from her before. You'll probably hear from her again. And she would often give me different exercises to do, just like I do with my clients, where bringing my nervous system back to neutral. And it was a million times a day. You know, I felt like before this, it's like I would do my regulating in the morning. I would do my regulating once or twice throughout the day. And I would stay pretty darn even keel. And now, with everything that was going on, I felt like every 20 minutes, I was like, oh my gosh, we have to do another regulating. We have to come back to neutral. We have to let this go. We have to do a mindset shift. And I used so many different tools. I definitely utilized EFT tapping. I also utilized something called faster tapping, which is really just kind of acknowledging where you are and it's hard, and then kind of moving to where the next space is. I had to do a lot of practicing of letting go, And I had to do a lot of acknowledging that it wasn't my fault, which was really hard because you feel like you're doing all of the things. And you are. I was doing all the things. But when they tell you that they have literally no idea why this happened, it's really incredibly hard. Because immediately you go to like, what could I have done differently, right? So that was really big. And then I literally had to set in so many boundaries of things I just couldn't do right now. I had to say no to a lot because I just didn't have the mental capacity to be able to handle all of those things with grace. And so I said no to a lot of functions, going out and doing things. I said no to a lot of business commitments, and pulled back a lot in those areas because I still had to show up very powerfully for the clients that we have and the clients we were bringing in. And I needed to hold that space for them. So I had to say no to a lot of other things. And that was okay. That was okay. So if you're getting anything from this, managing stress is a lot of saying no. And it's a lot of regulating throughout the day. And it's a lot of acknowledging that it's hard. And it's a lot of acknowledging that you're getting there. So for me, like if you acknowledge it's hard and it can really suck, but you can't stay there. Okay, so that is the first step. I think, you know, acknowledging, recognizing. But if you stay there, you're going to spiral. You're going to spiral. And so I had to have those things in place to help my body shift out as needed. And that was a lot of the regulating tools. And I would use the breath work. I would use the EFT tapping. I would use the faster tapping. I would use music. I would use things that helped unload that stress bucket. So for me, like playing the piano or coloring with the kids or adult coloring books are great, you guys. All of these things were just really useful to help bring and shift my body out into out of dorsal. I definitely went right to shutdown. I didn't go to fight or flight. I just went to shutdown. I'm like, I don't want to do anything, you know. So that was really important, was to constantly slightly bring the energy up. So music was a really big thing for that. Sticking to a routine, like getting up in the morning and doing my red light and doing my journaling and having that quiet time. I set little things throughout the day that were just would bring me joy. So you guys know I love coffee. Oh my God, an espresso machine last year and sitting and having my espresso was definitely one of those like joy-filled moments. I became such a tea drinker, you guys. I have fun teas and I would put them in a beautiful teacup and I would set time to sit and just drink those and have fun with that. I really pulled out my Kindle and did a lot of fiction reading. And I really became best friends with the do not disturb button on my phone. And so I really set strict work hours. So it's like, okay, I'm going to come in and support our clients and do all of this. And then I'm going to put my phone on do not disturb. And I gave myself permission to not answer people. Not my clients, I always answered them, but just any messages that would come through if I felt like, okay, I can't do this right now. That's okay. That's okay. And I know that it's a season. I know, but you can't just not take care of your health and not take care of your body for however long your pregnancy is or however long your stress is. And I know that it's a season and I know it won't always be at this level. But it definitely needed the management, that it did get. And I'm not saying that I was perfect. There was a lot of hard days and there still are hard days. And there's been days when I'm just like, oh, should I just literally close down my business and turn my focus? And then I've thought about that a lot. But at the same time, then I also have all of our clients that came in from 2024 with so many positive pregnancy tests and so many clients that, you know, made such massive strides in their relationship because they don't have BMS and rage anymore. And our clients who got their painless periods and like, okay, what we're doing makes such a massive difference in people's lives. So it was really just creating space to be able to do both of those. And that meant saying no to a lot of growth, or like business growth opportunities. And it meant saying no to a lot of other things. So I had to prioritize what was really important and say no to everything else. Okay. So to wrap all this up, I put so many joy-filled moments throughout my day. I have become a Ninja Creamy recipe extraordinaire. I have mastered it, especially like protein ice cream. And then just, I've nailed the texture, nailed it. So it's just so perfect. That brought me a lot of joy. So definitely putting the joy-filled things throughout your day. I highly recommend making a joy list and picking one to do every day. I said no to anything that wasn't top of my priority list. I built in so many regulating times throughout the day of acknowledging and then shifting my nervous system, acknowledging and shifting my nervous system throughout the day. I did a lot of sessions with my coach, with some brain rewiring and letting go. And that was extremely helpful. It's also extremely helpful to just have somebody to like, understand that side where it's like, okay, yes, you can't positive way your way through things. Like you have to get down in the trenches and do the work. And then I really found like voicing and talking to select people was really useful, and saying no to the negative stories and having to explain myself and all of that to everybody else. And I don't know what it will look like for you, but I do know that whatever stresses you have going on in your life, they're not easy. And I acknowledge that they're hard. And you can acknowledge they're hard too, and it sucks. And you can give yourself that day or a couple days to be a gremlin and eat the comfort food and do nothing productive. But take care of yourself, because that's being productive. And then we need to find a way to shift, okay? And shifting doesn't mean that the stress goes away. It just means that we're shifting our nervous system to come back to neutral over and over and over again so we can calm our bodies down. And I know that you can do that too. So this is one of the biggest tools that we teach in Hormone Reset Program because it makes such a difference. And I definitely feel like going through such a stressful and hard, pregnancy in terms of just never knowing what's going on. And I still can't even say, like, there are so many women out there, it's so much harder because he's going to be okay, you know? And I hold on to that so much. And so I don't want you to take this as like, woe is Leah. That's not my intent of this. My intent of this is that it can get really hard and it can get really stressful, and we still have to find those practical things to shift every single day, because you are the biggest advocate for yourself and your health, and you're the only one that can do that. I can give you the tools, give all these tools to my clients, but you still have to do it. And so if it's really hard and it's really stressful, I want you to know that don't give up hope. You can still get there. Okay? So, anyways, that was a fun episode. I hope that you got some value from that.
Thank you for listening to today's episode of Balancing Hormones Naturally. If you found this helpful, I would love for you to share it with a friend and post it on your stories and tag Balancing Hormones Naturally podcast so we can get this message out. You can find me on Instagram @Leah_BRUEG, and I would absolutely love to hear from you.